Hey, I'm Matt Whitman, and welcome to the 10-Minute Bible Hour podcast. This is the audio version of what is natively a video format program. You can get that at YouTube under the 10-Minute Bible Hour or at thetmbh.com. Here we go.
Hey, I'm Matt. This is the 10-Minute Bible Hour, and I am here with my family in Israel at, what's this place called?
Caesarea,
which is an amazing place to visit. I am particularly interested in the part of this that involves the Apostle Paul. Because at the end of the book of Acts, the last days of his time in this part of the world are recorded as having happened right here. So we're going to go book around and see if we can find some of those places where the Bible actually physically happened and talk about this story of the end of Paul's time in his home country. Woo! Crazy. I'm Matt. It's 10 Minute Bible Hour.
At the time Paul shows up in Caesarea, this town is still brand spanking new. It's a master plan community. It's less than 100 years old. It was built by Herod the Great. This is the same Herod who tried to kill Jesus and had all those babies killed at the very, very beginning of the New Testament or the turn of the new millennium. Well, Herod understood the political game. Caesar Augustus has this new empire. He's looking for people who are loyal to them. So Herod builds this city, one, as a tribute to the glory of Caesar Augustus. Smart move. Two, he builds the city as a place to put a really fancy palace for him to escape the heat of the summer out on the Mediterranean Sea. Great success. People loved that palace so much that as soon as Herod died, the governors of Judea took over, and this effectively became the seat of government for the province of Judea. But third, the Roman economy was changing, and they needed to use deep harbor ports to move these gigantic grain ships that especially came and went out of Egypt. This is how they supplied food to this growing empire. It's different than the old grow local philosophy. Well, Judea didn't really have that in place. So Herod, in an amazing feat of engineering, digs his own deep water harbor at Caesarea, which makes this place just a hub of everything that's going on economically, socially, politically in the first century in Judea. Okay, so Paul, you remember the deal with him. He's the guy who is the religious zealot that is so threatened by Christianity that he does violence against Christians to try to snuff it out. But then he's on his way up to hurt some Christians in Damascus and has this crazy conversion experience and flips sides. And he starts going around the whole Mediterranean world, setting up churches, telling people about Jesus. And people aren't super crazy about it. And that same level of religious zeal that made him want to kill people now causes him to be willing to take all those beatings and all of that imprisonment and all of that embarrassment in the interest of this thing that he believes to be like the truest, realest thing ever, the message of Jesus. Well, in all of that, he never loses his soft spot for his old classmates and his people back in Jerusalem, I mean, the Jewish people. And everybody tells him, dude, just don't go back there. They're going to murder you. Things are like on high right now. You just lay low. Paul's like, no, I got to do it. I'm going right back. And so he says goodbye to all his friends. He goes back to Jerusalem, and it turns out all his friends were completely right. It goes horribly. People try to like rip him in two in a big giant riot. The Roman authorities have to step in to rescue him. Then all of his old buddies and classmates put together a plot to have him murdered. And somebody who's sympathetic to Paul hears about it, warns Paul, and then warns the Roman military.
Objective one for underlings in Rome in the first century was make sure there wasn't rebellions while they were in charge. So Paul represents a very volatile situation, and that's why the Romans are so concerned with this, in addition to probably caring a little bit about his Roman citizenship. So when they decide to send him from Jerusalem up here to Caesarea, they don't take it lightly. They send him under the cover of darkness, and they send him with, get this, 470 men to make sure he gets delivered to this spot properly. When Paul passed through those gates, right back there, I'm guessing that he was figuring it'd be a pretty quick visit, but instead it turned out to be one of the destinations he hung around the longest in his entire career. I'm standing in the ruins of Herod's palace, but we know that by the middle of the first century, this didn't belong to the Herods anymore. Ownership had been transferred to whoever was Roman governor at the time. And when Paul showed up, that governor was a guy named Felix. Felix was smart. He knew there was very little advantage to him actually working out Paul's situation, and much more advantage to just keeping that in stalemate mode. So Felix gives Paul a couple of hearings. What would have happened? Well, frankly, just right in here. And ultimately decides that Paul is going to stay under casual arrest somewhere on the grounds of this palace for a couple of years. Eventually, a guy named Festus becomes governor. He's maybe a little more interested in moving the ball down the road. He has another hearing that, again, would have occurred right here, maybe right over here. And it becomes clear to Paul that he is not going to receive justice in this place. So he appeals to Caesar, which is his right as a Roman citizen.
So the Caesar, or the emperor, that Paul just appealed to here is Nero. Alec, even if you're not a student of history, I'm guessing that the name Nero does not exactly conjure notions of temperance and justice to you. This guy was a jerk. He murdered his way into power. He murdered his way through his time in office. And people who believed what Paul believed, like Nero famously had them rammed through with poles, stood upright, covered in pitch, and lit on fire to illuminate his evening strolls through his gardens. This guy was insane. Why would Paul escalate the situation when that's the dude he's going to have to go and talk to? The answer is simple. You and I wouldn't make this play because you and I are thinking in terms of self-preservation. But Paul had this encounter with Jesus in Acts 23, where Jesus appears to him and says, "Don't worry about stuff. You're going to go and represent me in Rome. So let's just get there." So when Paul got to Caesarea, I don't think that was a bad thing in his mind. I think he viewed that as a way to complete this mission that he was on. But now he's been sitting there for 2 years. He's met with two different governors. He's met with the sitting Judean king. He's like, this is going nowhere. So it's not about him proving his innocence or getting vindication. It's about him getting the ball rolling on what his mission is. So he's going to appeal to a madman, walk right into the lion's den, all for the purpose of doing what he's supposed to do.
So after Paul makes that appeal to the emperor, he gets loaded up in a boat and sent to Italy right there. That, right there, is the last place where Paul would ever set foot on native soil.
I'm Matt Whitman. This has been the 10-Minute Bible Hour podcast. The 10-Minute Bible Hour podcast is taken straight from the audio of my 10-Minute Bible Hour YouTube program. You can find that with a cursory Google search or by going to the 10minutebiblehour.com.